Hello and welcome to the podcast of the Lotus Eaters for the 16th of September 2021. I'm joined by Carl.
Hello.
And today we're talking about Nicki Minaj versus the entire left. Also, Boris's reshuffle to try and get some base votes back, because I think he's starting to realise that you can only lose so many. And also, women patrolling each other.
Oh yeah. I should have got that meme. You know who the enemies of women are?
Women.
Women. Yeah, exactly.
Women are the eternal enemies of women. Anyway, so some of the things I mentioned first on the website. So this is a new article we have from, I don't know how you say his real name.
Kodrin Stavry.
VTV.
So it's a really fun article as well.
10 reasons why the panic-demic will be over in a year.
See, that's a really nice distinction as well, because the word pandemic implies that there's a real problem, but really the problem is the mass panic that we're enduring.
It's a human-induced problem rather than a...
Natural.
Can you even say it's natural? Don't know. Anyway, so
are we allowed? Who knows?
So go and give that a read. There's also the next one, which is an article about Andrew Neil. So this was by Bo, I believe.
Yeah, this was absolutely savage. Like, honestly, I was reading through this and I felt like my hair was being blown off my head or something. I was like, bloody hell, Bo. He's got a very sharp wit, a very sharp pen when he wants to have. And comparing Andrew Neil to Arthur Percival is hilarious. If you don't know who Arthur Percival is, go check out the article and you'll see why Bo made that comparison. It's very good.
Anyway, criticizing his leadership there.
Oh, yes.
So let's move on. Next thing to mention is the new thing we have on this article from Josh, the psychological impacts of lockdown. That there.
Ooh.
Audio.
Yeah. So for anyone wondering, this is what we're thinking about trying to roll out. And so we've done a sort of test example that is, this isn't a premium article, is it? It is a premium article. Right, okay. So premium subscribers, go to loadseats.com, check out the psychological impact of lockdowns, which is a great article anyway, by the way. But we got Jonathan Crow to record us the article as a, you know, just an audio file. So it's him reading it. And he has a wonderful voice, as I'm sure you're all aware, from the video comments he sent in. And if this is something that you guys like and think it adds value to the site and think it's something you'd use on a regular basis, we were thinking about introducing this as a regular permanent feature for Silver Tier subscribers, because we don't have anything special for Silver Tier subscribers and we need something special. So for Silver and Gold Tier, you'd be able to get access to the audio of it, because of course we have to pay Jonathan to do these, and so we can't just give them away for everyone, unfortunately. But let us know what you think of that, because I really like the idea, and Jonathan did an amazing job with this. I was really impressed, because like, I was a bit cynical. I was like, well, it's just going to be him reading it, isn't it? But then when he starts reading, I'm like, okay, actually, I'm enjoying this. You know, this is a really easy way to digest the article that I might not otherwise have read. So let us know what you think of that, basically.
You're describing it like Jonathan's doing ASMR, almost. Alrighty.
Moving on.
So let's get to the live event. So this is the last thing to mention, of course, the not-so-secret guest now. So Leo being the first one, and also Andrew Lawrence being the second one.
No, Leo being the second one, because he's on Saturday.
Oh, Andrew sorry. Lawrence I read them in the order that they're on the screen. So.
Yeah.
So Andrew Lawrence on the Friday, Leo on the Saturday, for the two live events we're doing in London. The one being in South London, one being in Central London. The specific location's given to you when you buy a ticket.
Yeah, because you'll be emailed it, just to avoid interference. But I figured out what I'm going to do as well for my set there now, so it's going to be good. It's going to be spicy.
Alrighty, so let's get into Nicki Minaj.
Yeah.
So. Oh, I didn't want to say that.
I can't name a single one of Nicki Minaj's songs. I wouldn't recognize her if I passed her in the street. But I am very familiar with her Twitter account, because she keeps saying things that are really annoying all the right people. She's doing exactly the right thing, and she seems to be having a really fun time doing it. I haven't seen trolling on this scale for quite some time, in fact, possibly never, because of the 22 million followers that she has. And she has just been brazen about how much she doesn't care about the opinions of those meddling busybodies who want to tell her to shut up because she has an opinion of her own. So this began on the 13th of September when she tweeted out this: "They want you to get vaccinated for the Met," which is the Met Gala that we covered the other day. "If I get vaccinated, it won't be for the Met. I feel I've done enough research. I'm working on that now. In the meantime, my loved ones, be safe. Wear the mask with two strings that grips your head and face, not that loose one." And then she followed this up a few minutes later with another one: "My cousin in Trinidad won't get the vaccine because his friend got it and became impotent. His testicles became swollen. His friend was weeks away from getting married. Now the girl called off the wedding. So just pray on it and make sure you're comfortable with your decision, not bullied." 137,000 likes. And that's a very responsible message. Now, I don't think that she's lying, that she has met a person who has had a negative reaction to the vaccine. We know someone who has had this exact reaction, where one of their testicles swelled up and it was very painful because they wanted to go somewhere and so they got the vaccine. So it's not that this can't be a side effect. Now, I don't think this is permanent. I don't know if they're permanently impotent or anything like that, and I would be surprised if that was a permanent effect. But even as a temporary effect from like a blood clot or something, that's pretty distressing. And so I can see why she's like, maybe I'll think about it. And it did resonate with some people, because especially the don't be bullied message, which I think is important. But it resonated with some people, as this person with like 500,000 followers, who I've never heard of, said, I really just want to thank you for opening up a conversation. My children had severe reactions to their childhood vaccines. We were given medical exemptions in 2015. No one is allowed to question, and few are brave enough to speak out. Everybody is unique, and that's true. Your personal circumstance might actually dictate why you shouldn't have something, or, you know, if you don't have anything wrong, then maybe you should have it. Who knows, right? But everyone is different, and the point being,
check the medical advice, obviously.
Exactly. Get your own medical advice for you as an individual. Don't worry about statistics. You are not a statistic. But as the point is made there, though, no one is allowed to speak out, and few are brave enough to speak out. That's the problem, isn't it? That's the problem with, honestly, all of modern society these days. A lot of our problems, I think, would be resolvable if we're allowed to have honest conversations about them. And so this really, really annoyed the media. So Philip Lewis is... can you just hover over him to get his bio? He works for the Huffington Post, but he said it was senior front page editor for the Huffington Post. So total nobody, then. Total nobody who nobody cares about. And he retweets just a Twitter poll that Nicki Minaj did, just asking which one did people following her think were the best vaccines. Pfizer came out on top on that because Americans. And so he was being snarky. Oh, was this your research that you were doing? And so she just replied to him saying, you've been tweeting me for about an hour. You're not tired yet? Mad I'm my own person? Mad the internet can't scare me away? It's always someone who looks like you. Oof. Don't know where that's going. Polls are very much part of research, real experiences, open dialogue, etc. Go put on your red nose clown things. Taking no prisoners. I'm loving it. I'm absolutely loving it. And then that began it seems to have begun like the media freaking out about Nicki Minaj having her own opinions, which I think is a good thing. And so Joy Reid of MSNBC started going at her hard. And so let's play the first clip.
And people like Nicki Minaj, I have to say this. You have a platform, sister, that is 22 million followers. Okay, I have 2 million followers. You have 22 million followers on Twitter. For you to use your platform to encourage our community to not protect themselves and save their lives, my God, sister, you could do better than that. You got that platform. It's a blessing. It's a blessing that you got that, that people listen to you. And they listen to you more than they listen to me. For you to use your platform to put people in the position of dying from a disease they don't have to die from, oh my God, as a fan, as a hip-hop fan, as somebody who was your fan, I'm so sad that you did that. So sad that you did that, sister. Oh my God.
Wow. Nicki Minaj is literally killing people now. But she didn't encourage people not to get the vaccine. She didn't say anything like that. She said, this happened, and so I'm not going to get it for the Met Gala. If I get it for something, I'll get it for something else. And she does give other reasons later on why she can. But that's the point, isn't it? Like, this has been totally taken out of context. And suddenly it's our community. Nicki Minaj lives in Trinidad. Joy Reid doesn't. What community? Oh, they're brown.
International blackery.
Yes, international blackness. That's what Joy Reid is appealing to here. And thankfully, Nicki Minaj is having absolutely none of this. She says, this is what happens when you're so thirsty to down another black woman by the request of a white man that you don't bother to read all my tweets. My God, sister, do better. Imagine getting your dumb ass on TV for a minute after a tweet spread a false narrative about a black woman. It's like, whew, okay. Tell us how you really feel. And she followed this up with a few retweets. She said, like this particular one that she had retweeted. Can you not read or not? You know, she clearly states she recommends people get the vaccine, do your research. And then she gives another one where she had done this. And then another one she had retweeted that she says, when did she tell anyone not to get it? You'll lie for unprovoked views every damn day. Wow. And Nicki Minaj retweeted this. In fact, we go to the next one, I think it is. It's like... Yeah, why would they bother to read when the lie is so juicy and provocative and got her dumb ass on TV? They got someone with black skin for a reason. They always use us against us. I tell you what, man, I'm just, am I allowed to talk about this? I'm starting to sweat, right? But it, like, not taking any of this crap, and I love it, right? But anyway, so then Daily Beast start lying about her. If you can scroll down a bit so you can just see the headline. Nicki Minaj says she won't get vaxxed, says she's worried about swollen testicles. She didn't say that. That's not what she said. You're a liar. And she says, please show me where I said I'm worried about anything. Yes, I'm glad you guys get to see how the media really works. I'll have contacted them along with others. That's good, isn't it? Nicki Minaj showing everyone that the media is full of absolute liars. Absolute liars. And she went back to Joy Reid after this, because this has obviously got her under her skin, and just retweeted the Joy Reid thing. And someone had said, you know, oh, look how fast the National News Network organized to blatantly lie on Nicki Minaj. You know, this is real, and the evidence is so evident of how they're working overtime to sabotage her. I fully understand why Nicki doesn't like to speak. They lie and twist about everything she says. Totally true, and they do it to everyone. And why do they do it? Well, as she says, they're being paid to do it. That's correct. They are literally paid smear merchants. So it kept going, and she discovered that she had a very nice name for Joy Reid, and you can see with Joy Reid is flanked by two white gentlemen as she's going off on this. And so Nicki Minaj retweets this saying, the two white men that sitting there nodding their heads because this Uncle Tomina is doing the work, chill, how sad. Now, I'm not incredibly fluent in African-American vernacular, but I think she's just called him a female, called her a female Uncle Tom.
Yeah. I mean, her point earlier, they always use us to go after us.
Mm.
The Democrat machine always uses brown-skinned people to keep other brown-skinned people in line with the message.
And she's saying that Joy Reid, yeah, exactly, is being put on TV because she's black to lie about black people in order to put black people in their place by white people.
Don't you dare disrupt the message.
Yeah. And again, she continued with this. Tamina purposely chose to ignore these tweets and others. I wonder why. And it's tweets where she's, you know, not dissing the vaccine or anything like that. And then she starts going after the fake news machine because this leaps into action. Three lies in a row from huge news platforms. I cited my young child as why I didn't want to travel, but notice how none of them mentioned that. Ask yourself why that was. Oh yes, I should have got that up because she said that she didn't want to. She, you know, she'd get vaccinated something else, but she didn't want to because she had a newborn baby or you know, baby of some sort, and so she wasn't going to bother with the Met Gala, which I mean, shockingly responsible from Nicki Minaj. Good parenting, that sounds like. So these are not words I expected to ever say. Not like I had some preconceptions about Nicki Minaj was not good, but thankfully she's really overturned a bunch of these at this point, right? But she's not done. She's just going to keep going after Joy Reid for being a, quote, lying homophobic coon. She says, I guess I can join in the reindeer games too, right? People go on TV and lie about me. I can report on them too, right? Doesn't have to be truths. It can be half-truths. Uncle Tamina asked who on earth would trust the US FDA, guys. Well, okay. I mean, there's no reason that she can't do that because, I mean, if Joy Reid is going to go on TV and lie about her, why can't she go on Twitter and lie about Joy Reid? Even though I'm not even sure that's a lie because you can see from the Vox thing, Joy Reid had previously had blog posts that had been deemed by the left as homophobic. So from their own perspective, I'm not even sure that's a lie. So, like, you know, just saying. Anyway, moving on. People were starting to get, like, quite aware of what's going on here. And Meghan McCain said, maybe that's enough internet for today. To which Nicki Minaj turned around and said, eat SU. The kind of response I approve of. And her poor friend, who had the vaccine and had his testicle swell up, got wind of all this, and she tweets out, oh my FG, my cousin, who has the friend, just texted me telling him to call him. You idiots, if he saw this on the news, it's all your fault. It was supposed to be a secret, ha ha ha. If either of us, you didn't hear it from me, okay. So she's just messing around here, you know, having some fun. And I'm really enjoying how much this is riling everyone up. And then Boris Johnson and Chris Whitty got wind of it. The British government are now responding to Nicki Minaj. What is happening here? So she was accused of peddling ridiculous vaccine myths, by reporting on something that happened to someone she knew. And when asked whether the vaccine causes reproductive issues, Dr. Anthony Fauci said the answer is a resounding no. How he knows that, considering the vaccine hasn't been out long enough to test, I don't know. But anyway, moving on. Scientists say there's no evidence that the vaccine can cause impotence. But wouldn't people reporting that, I don't know, their bollocks are swelling up count as a form of evidence? Are we ignoring that? I mean, I'm not saying it does. I don't know. But anyway, he told CNN there's no evidence that it happens, nor there's any mechanistic reason that it could happen. What was it about blood clots? But anyway, Chris Whitty said that people who spread falsehoods about the jab should be ashamed of themselves. And when asked about vaccine misinformation, he said, there are a number of myths that fly around, some of which are clearly ridiculous, and some of which are clearly just designed to scare. That happens to be one of them, and it's untrue. Oh, sorry, buddy, your bollocks didn't swell up after you got the vaccine. Chris Whitty says so. You know, the guy like 10,000 miles away in a different country. He knows better than you, right? But Boris, as well, during this press conference, took this with fairly good humour, admittedly. He was like, oh, I guess I don't pay attention to enough of what Nicki Minaj says. And so Nicki Minaj found this. And she tweets out, I love him even though I guess this was a diss. The accent, yes, boo. And then she recorded a message for Boris. And I find this hilarious that she's clearly just having such a good time with all of this. She says, send this to the Prime Minister and let him know they lied on me. I forgive him, no one else, only him. Let's listen to the message.
Yes, hello, Prime Minister. Boris, it's Nicki Minaj. I was just calling to tell you that I thought you were so amazing on the news this morning. And I'm actually British. I was born there. I went to university there. I went to Oxford. I went to school with Margaret Thatcher. And she told me so many nice things about you. I'd love to send you my portfolio of my work, since you don't know much about me. I'm a big, big star in the United States.
I mean, the only fault there, I suppose, should have said colonies instead of the United States.
That's true. She should. And she
apart
didn't say,
accent, of course,
bottle of water.
Bottle
of water. Yeah, I can't even pronounce it right.
Right.
Well, you know, and then just things just kept getting weirder. Like, you know, Laura Kussenberg decided to retweet this going, well, 2021, everyone. And Nicki Minaj saw this and replied to her saying, yes, 2021, when jackasses hang on my every tweet but can't decipher sarcasm and humor and can't read. Go away, Dumbo. Which is exactly how I feel about Laura Kussenberg, the BBC's political editor, chief political editor. Anyway, Piers Morgan decided to rear his fat face. Professor Chris Whitty beefing with the ghastly Nicki Minaj, one of the rudest little madams I've ever met, is not breaking news that I expected today, but it's most welcome. She's peddling lies that cost lives.
Like you, Piers.
Bro!
You were the one demanding a lockdown, and then like a week later went to a massive football game with loads of people.
Mm-hmm.
Because for you, but not for me.
Yes. And Nicki Minaj just replies to this going, sir, I've never met you. I know we all look alike. Rudest little madam. I like it. It has a special ring to it. Thanks, Piers. Piers, she says. Love the accent. I'd love to come and chat. Scones, tea, clown nose, red, big shoes for you. Link me, babe. I just love everything about this. Can you hover over her Twitter bio, John?
Nice.
That's excellent. She's, for anyone listening, she's just put rudest little madam with a British flag in her Twitter bio. I'm loving this. I'm absolutely loving this total lack of respect for the authority figures of the United Kingdom. And then the American late night comedians finally woke up and decided that they would get on it. This is Stephen Colbert, you know, trying to do something with it. He's got a, you know, clip selection there. She says, I never cited that as a reason to get vaccinated. I didn't get vaccinated. This lie is so funny, entertaining though. I'd say something to this lady, but I really like Stephen Colbert. And then Jimmy Kimmel decided that he wanted to interview her cousin's balls for some reason. He's willing to talk for the right price. I'm his manager. Call me Jimmy. I love everything about this. I just love the fact that she's just like, you're all a bunch of clowns. Literal clowns. I mean, I can't believe that the clown world meme hasn't been appearing in her timeline, frankly. Anyway, she replies to someone else, and I like the way that she's framing this. Now, I can't see the original tweet because it was deleted by the author, because obviously he got a lot of blowback for this. But she says, how do you know this? How? Have you exhumed every body in every cemetery in the last year? STFU. Who is this we? And following the we with we must never is where you lost me. Blocked for being effing dumb on my page. Who's next? Day three of Ballgate has begun. Takes a seat at my desk. I'm loving this, right? But I like this addressing the first person plural. Who is this we? Why must we? She is her own person. She gets to have her own opinion, and she gets to say things that are true as she sees them. And the fact that they're going, oh, we can't do this, and I assume as a black person, frankly, because they've all been trying to make racial claims on her because of the color of her skin, and she's not having any of this. Like Kanye West style, now, get bent, you know, love it, right? And so Tucker Carlson had noticed all of this, and he did a segment on it, which we'll watch in a second, and she tweeted it out with a bullseye icon. Let's play the clip.
Oh, he's fine. It's Nicki Minaj's cousin's friend's testicles who are swollen from taking the vax. That's the claim. But it's not anything to do with the physical effect of the vaccine that makes our political class mad. It's the last part of Nicki Minaj's tweet that enrages them. The part where she says you should pray on it, make the decision yourself like a free human being, and quote, don't be bullied. So our media and public health officials didn't like this because they make their livings bullying people. So they couldn't let it stand.
Love it. That's the clip she tweeted out, and with the bullseye. And that is exactly true. This is we've all seen it. We have all experienced it. This is a completely correct statement about reality. And then, uh-oh, here come the communists. Hassan Piker, everyone's favorite big brain hypocrite, comes out and just the first reply, you know he's a white nationalist, right? And you can see dang below just LMFAO, just... Oh my God. Oh my God, Hassan. This was your big take, was it? This was like, no, I got to put stop to this. No, Tucker's a Nazi. Everyone's so impressed with you, Hassan. Your insight is just criminally underappreciated. And I'm so glad that you could afford that house, by the way. But anyway, so just to be clear, right? Tucker Carlson is not a white nationalist. He's an American nationalist, as we will explain in a minute. But Hassan, for anyone who doesn't know, because it turns out there are some people who aren't familiar with Hassan, and they should be, he was the guy who got banned from Twitch for saying that America deserved 9/11, like a really intelligent person. And he is, of course, a full communist who, for some reason, loves Lenin and gets his portrait done in the style of Lenin. Stalin. It's probably both. It was Lenin. So, you know, good boys who didn't do nothing. And like all good socialists, he owns a $3 million mansion. Because why wouldn't he? Nothing hypocritical there. And what I love about this is that you get all of the people who happen to like Hassan, which I would really like to know why they like Hassan. They say things, you know, like, oh, why can't I profit from capitalism? Why criticizing capitalism? And it's literally, and I mean, I would appreciate if you could do your Southern slave owner drawl here.
Like, why can't I profit from slavery while engaging in slavery?
Exactly. That's exactly what
I'm criticizing slavery, but I need the slaves.
Yeah, I might be against slavery, but, you know.
They're my property.
That's exactly right. I've got cotton that needs picking. What do you want, you know? And so Hassan is in his lovely, and the thing is right as well, you've got to remember, like, the Hassan's investment into capitalism in his $3 million house and however many millions of dollars he makes every year means that he's going to become deeply conservative, right? That makes it a grift. He doesn't want socialism because then he'd have to give up what he has, and he doesn't want to give up what he has because there's no way under socialism he's going to end up with millions of dollars in a massive house.
He's not some social liberal. He's just not like, the comparison is not like he's like, I think slavery's a bit bad, but I'm a slave owner. No. He thinks slavery should be abolished and yet has slaves.
Yes, he is exactly. And he literally thinks that profit is theft. And he moves into a $3 million mansion. He can only frame that as the theft of this mansion from the working class. In his own terms. So anyway, Nicki Minaj wasn't interested in taking Hassan Piker's bull. She replied to him saying, right, I can't speak to, agree with, even look at someone from a particular political party. People aren't human anymore. If you're black and a Democrat tells you to shove marbles up your ass, you simply have to. If another party tells you to look out for that bus, stand there and get hit. just smoked, as far as I'm concerned, because she's identified accurately the exact problem with left-wing politics. It's about making sure you understand it's us versus them, the evil people who need to be, well, punched and worse.
Entirely tribal, not concerned with any kind Absolutely. Of fact or truth, and instead entirely concerned with power.
Exactly. And this is the cult mentality of the left that she's calling out here. She doesn't want to be like that, and well done to her. Very, very smart. And so Hassan Piker thought that he would double down on this L that he's busy publicly taking in front of millions of people with another L that he would publicly take in front of millions of people, saying Tucker Carlson is not only vaccinated, but doesn't like black and brown people, immigrants, coming into the country. This isn't about parties. There are plenty of racist Democrats, too. What? He's vaccinated. So she's not against vaccinations, Hassan.
Again, not understanding no. the debate at all.
Again, the shrinking brain of Hassan. She's not against vaccines. She's not an anti-vaxxer. She's just saying, hey, this interesting thing happened, and, you know, I'm not going to get vaccinated just to get to the Met Gala because I guess I'm not the worst person on earth. But this doesn't like black and brown immigrants coming into the country. That's not what he says in the clip that Hassan has presented here. And so let's watch this clip and actually interrogate what Tucker Carlson has said.
Where the government shows preference to people who have shown absolute contempt for our customs, our laws, our system itself, and they're being treated better than American citizens. Now, I know that the left and all the little gatekeepers on Twitter become literally hysterical if you use the term replacement, if you suggest that the Democratic Party is trying to replace the current electorate, the voters now casting ballots, with new people, more obedient voters from the third world. So right. this matters on a bunch of different levels, but on the most basic level, it's a voting rights question. In a democracy, one person equals one vote. If you change the population, you dilute the political power of the people who live there. So every time they import a new voter, I become disenfranchised as a current voter.
What's inaccurate about that, Hassan? Also, what's racial about that? Now, Tucker is saying non-Americans, not American citizens, are coming to America and being treated better than American citizens. This is not any particular colour. I don't know why I have to remind Hassan Piker of this, but black people are American citizens. Non-white people who are American citizens, and they should also be concerned about the 200,000 migrants that the Biden administration is letting cross the border every single year.
That's they're the legals, not. Before you get to the legals.
But the legals are fine because they're going to move over, get American citizenship, they're following the process. I can understand why people are fine with that. But 200,000 illegal immigrants, people who have no right to be in the country, no right to be well-treated by the country, shouldn't be there. And that's, like, each month, by the way. That's, like, there were 208,000 in August and 212,000 in July. And that's just the ones they know about. These are the encounters. So there are going to be, you know, God knows how many that are just getting through that people just didn't realize because it's not like Biden's doing anything about the goddamn border. But the point is that Hassan, in his framing, if it's black and brown people, again, he just can't think outside of race. What he's saying is that black and brown people are not Americans, but white people are Americans. To Hassan's framing, for him to think that Tucker Carlson is a white supremacist, he has to believe that only white people are Americans, whereas the black and brown people, who are also Americans and have been Americans their whole lives, generations going back now, Hassan, more than you, incidentally, since you were born in Turkey, they are actually all Americans, and you are an interloper who may well consider himself not to be. And if that's the case, you're doing very well out of the country, aren't you? Anyway, so Nicki Minaj, again, didn't care about this. So she replied to someone saying, well, look, Nicki, he's a racist and white supremacist. And she just said, the black woman lied on me and made people attack me. But I can't quote this man who did the opposite. Okay, yeah, fuck him. Sorry, I shouldn't have sworn. Yes, woo, happy now, brain dead. So love it. I love that she is speaking to the actual things at hand. She's not speaking to an abstract, theoretical an examination that is totally inaccurate of what's happened. No, the black woman lied about her and made people attack her, but Tucker Carlson told the truth and defended her, and she's not allowed to quote him because of who Tucker Carlson is. unbelievable. And so let's just go to the last one, where, again, people just aren't letting it go. And so she's not letting it go. And I'm loving this, right? She says, you know how many US presidents were white supremacists? Oh, please, just stay on topic. You can't do that. The topic is asking questions is okay. But let's make the topic Nikki talks to white racists so you can all sleep better at night, dummies. She's honestly, I'm genuinely amazed at the incisive nature of her commentary on this. And I know you were like, this isn't a big deal, but I think this is a big deal. I think that she's actually completely sliced through this. Yeah, there was another bit where she claims that she was suspended temporarily on Twitter, and so she posted this. Twitter claimed that they didn't suspend her. I don't really know what the... I mean, I don't see why she'd lie about it. And she did seem to, like, not post very much more on the 13th. And she resumed this on the 14th, because she was obviously just like, no, get effed, you know. But she's completely right. She's being given the runaround because leftists want to exclude people from the dialogue, and she's not having it. You know, and she's speaking to the truth. Tucker told the truth. Joy Reid lied. The rest of the media lied. And so she's like, well, I'm going to side with the person who tells the truth. Good for her.
Yeah, good for her.
Now I really enjoyed that.
I know you did. I guess now for something completely different. So let's move on to Boris's reshuffling for base votes. So Boris has decided to do another reshuffle. I think actually this is his first proper reshuffle since he became Prime Minister, so I shouldn't say another.
Yeah.
Okay, so this is a thing that Prime Ministers do on occasion to move everyone around, get rid of people who are unpopular, put in people who are popular, and nothing changes because the structure is the same. And this was somewhat interesting, though, because some of the people did change that are of note. So if we scroll down on this is just the BBC reporting on the reshuffle. First thing I wanted to mention, Johnson's cabinet, and you can see there, you can filter this list by all new roles, newcomers, women, BAME.
Oh, God damn it, BBC.
They have a section for the BAMEs. The BAME-only list.
Quick, segregate the non-whites off.
Can you click on BAME for me, John? Just to get the point, this is interactive as well. So you can go look at your BAMEs. You know, how many you've got on your report card? Because the BBC is a sick organization.
And look at the people, though. Do you think Sajid Javid and Priti Patel would be like, oh, yes, please segregate me off on the BBC website? I would love people to think of me as non-British because of my skin colour, please.
But also the women as well. It's just like, yeah, just segregate the women because that's all they are.
Just to be clear, the Conservative women didn't get there because of affirmative action, Labour.
That's the whole point. Anyway, so getting into this.
Which is why they're on their second female Prime Minister. Probably moving on to their third if Priti Patel carries on. Anyway, moving on.
So Gavin Williamson, the Education Secretary, was kicked for polling badly. He was the guy who tried to do some free speech stuff, but on the other side messed up A-levels and whatnot because of COVID and things. So he was replaced. I think they put the Vaccines Minister, the YouGov guy, Zahawi or whatever his name is, in his place. Everyone was hoping it was going to be Kemi because that would be awesome, but it wasn't to be. But there were two appointments that are worth talking about. So first one being Liz Truss. Liz Truss getting fast-tracked to Foreign Secretary.
Mm-hmm.
She was international trade before. And you remember she was in charge of women's inequalities?
Yes, the official position that was made by the Labour Party, because it sounds like something out of the Soviet Union, that she went into and was like, no, women have vaginas.
That's her stance.
Yeah.
She's keeping that. So if you get the next one, she's holding on to that position. Because in her words, whenever she's asked about it, it's not that hard a job.
Where's the equality in that? She has two jobs and some people don't have any. Cry harder.
Yeah, so she's doing that for a laugh on the side because it is a laugh.
I love the disdain, the disrespect for Labour's positions here.
Yeah, I wish they just repealed the whole.
They should get rid of
but,
it. Yeah.
You know, whatever, I'll take it. But the big hubbub was around a new lady.
Ooh.
New lady, rising star, Nadine Dorries.
Oh, the Labour Party have another problem with a woman, do they?
Yeah, so this is also another actually position.
Have just before we move on, how many female party leaders has Labour had?
Zero.
Hmm. How many female prime ministers has Labour had?
Zero.
Really? That's weird. It seems like the Labour Party might be a bit misogynistic.
So this is another position the Labour Party set up, the Culture Secretary, and they put Nadine Dorries in charge of this. This is, again, a Soviet kind of sounding position.
Sounds incredibly Soviet, doesn't it?
Not liberal.
Secretary of Culture. Get rid of it, Conservatives.
Yeah, but that means she's in charge of the culture wars, let's say. That's the point she's going to be doing.
Okay.
So if we go to the next one, we can see some Tories here. So Turning Point UK being an example of some Tories who were rejoicing about this, being very happy.
So let me just read this. Left-wing snowflakes are killing comedy, tearing down historic statues, removing books from universities, dumbing down Panto, removing Christ from Christmas, and suppressing free speech. Sadly, it must be true. History does repeat itself. It will be music next. Wow, that's a very good statement.
Yeah, so leftists very mad. And I thought we'd go through some of the leftists being mad. So we go to the next one. We have Anna Soubry being mad. The appointment of Nadine Dorries as Culture Secretary is a final confirmation, if you needed it, that we are indeed have the worst Prime Minister and government ever.
Well, 21,000 likes proves that you're not a Conservative, doesn't it, Anna?
Also the fact that you left the party.
Yep.
And then started your own party called the Cuck Party.
And now you're not even in Parliament, are you?
No. They also lost every election the cuck party engaged in because they were literally called the cuck party. So the literal cuck is upset. Right.
Good.
Okay. So we'll move on from this. There's another hoe that is mad, Ash Sarkar, who is mad. Anyway, congratulations Penny Mordaunt. I mean, Nadine Dorris to her promotion to Culture Minister. And she's saying that confusing two of the appointments because Nadine Dorris confused some brown people for looking like the same people.
Nadine Dorris accused of thinking brown women look the same.
In particular, Ash Sarkar and someone else.
And she's in charge of whatever the culture secretary does.
Yes, right. Which is culture. Excellent. So she's mad about that. Again, I don't care because, you know, people look the same. Like, if white people look the same, is that a racial comment? And we'll get to that in a minute. So we go to the Islamists being mad as well. The Islamists are, of course, mad. What are they mad about?
Oh, no.
Number one, she shared tweets by Tommy Robinson. About a 7-year-old child being raped. Like, that's not the important thing. Again, it's the truth of the thing doesn't matter, Jesus. The person. So, you know, Robinson mentioned a 7-year-old child who was raped by 5 men, and she's the bad guy for making that known. She asked Sadiq Khan about grooming gangs, open brackets, what's it got to do with him?
Oh, well, that's a really great question.
Number three said vote rigging is commonplace in Muslim communities.
We know that's true.
Tower Hamlets and Birmingham.
Leicester.
But the two big ones, I don't know if Leicester was proven.
Oh, no, that, was Leicester proven? Was absolutely proven. Okay, and so and I think Bedford as well, where the Brexit Party was supposed to win, I think that they got stiffed on that.
Okay, but we have at least three examples that are proven in court,
yes.
Let's say. And they're all in...
In Leicester, there was literally a vote-making factory, ballot-making factory that was discovered.
Yeah, so I love the fact that she's like, yeah, the context of Robinson's reporting on race-based human trafficking is not important. It's the fact that the man said it, the bad man. Also, why do you resent that remark? Why are you upset about that? Mentioned some race-based child trafficking.
Yep.
Anyway, let's move on to Pink News, who are also mad. So in 2012, the new culture secretary, Nadine Dorris, claimed that she would never meet a single gay couple who wanted to marry. When Pink News published this, thousands of gay couples tried to enlighten her. She voted against same-sex marriage anyway, saying it took the sex out of marriage.
Okay, well.
Interesting.
Just... don't back down, I guess.
Yeah, it took the sex out of the marriage. I mean,
I don't know what that means, but okay.
It's not there's no reproduction. So there's
right. Yeah.
So if we go to some of her tweets, some people are also like digging out her tweets and acting mad about them for some stupid reason. And there's another one here, so an old tweet. Apparently I'm racist because I think Chukwuma Munering looks like Chris Eubank. What would be said if I said he looked like someone who was white?
We're in uncharted waters here. I don't even want to.
I know, but it
I
is
dread
dumb.
To think.
It's like if two white guys look the same, Ed Miliband and, I don't know, Wallace and Gromit. You know, Wallace from Wallace and Gromit.
Chris Whitty and a paedophile.
Leave that there. So moving on. So if we go to the next one, there's some other tweets from her. So if gay marriage bill takes sex out of marriage, could a sister marry a sister to avoid inheritance tax? So there's a question she asked during the debate, which...
I look at the way they framed this. Nadine Dorris compares gay marriage to incest.
No, she's talking about long-term tax planning there, which, well, how would you stop it? I mean, if people want to rig the system, they're going to do it. They don't have to do anything, obviously. It's not actually incest.
What? Are you saying that Ilhan Omar has got a new defense?
Yes.
I married my brother for the inheritance tax, honestly, Governor.
I'm sure she'll try. She's also very pro-life, Nadine Dorris. So if we get the next one, this is her saying it's time to reduce the upper abortion limits from 24 weeks to 20 weeks.
Yeah, let's do it.
This was in response. So she's
Patrol.
Two abortions that were before 24 weeks that were both botched. So that's affected her personally. Also, there was proven that at 23 weeks it can survive without the womb. Sorry, outside of the womb. Therefore, it's like, well, okay, well, that's the limit for the reason. Then let's bring it down.
Okay.
So both her bills were shot down on that. She's also pro-Brexit, because of course she is. So it happened. Brexit is done. Dancing. And also wishes GB News well. So there's a new culture secretary and media secretary, Nadine Dorris. It's truly exciting. Cannot wait. Good luck to everyone involved. GB News.
I can't wait to see her being interviewed on GB News.
But this is a Guardian verified checkmark being mad about this. It's oh God, how dare the person involved in media wish media companies.
Oh, I hope you feel that the entire country is going far right, Paul Johnson. It's all, the walls are closing in. They're coming for you. They're going to make you do nothing.
I mean, also, why do we have this position, Paul? If you're mad about having someone in charge of the media, how about we just abolish the position?
But this is just, oh God, this is just the eternal argument. Is like, look, right, you can use the government to do anything you want, but you're not going to have control of it forever. And whatever you've created, whatever precedents you've set, when your enemies get control of them, you're going to be howling about it. And there you are. Here we go.
Too bad. So also we have on the burqa ban. Her opinions on the burqa ban are very funny. There should be another one in there. But she says on the burqa ban, yeah, the government should ban the burqa. No Good. Woman in a liberal progressive society should be forced to cover up her beauty or her bruises. Boris didn't go far enough. France, Denmark, Holland, and Belgium aren't on their knees in an apology.
Come on.
Look to the bravery of Iranian women and learn.
Okay, she seems wonderful, Callum.
Yeah, I'm not done.
Okay, let's go.
So, women's shortlist. So, we'll go to the Conservative Home. She wrote an article about this. She was writing about women's only shortlists, and she had some things to say about the Labour benches.
Go on, then.
Of Labour women, sometimes I feel very sorry for some of the Labour women who are selected via all women shortlists.
Okay.
Everyone knows who they are. They are constantly derided, and that's just by male Labour MPs.
Oh.
Parliament takes no prisoners. No one in any party takes them seriously, and actually, many are amongst the worst performers in the House. They constantly suffer the humiliation of comments made to wound, spoken to remind them that they didn't arrive because of anything they had achieved other than being born female.
She may as well have just named Jess Phillips there.
Yeah, and the rest of them.
Well, yeah.
I mean, Nadia Witham comes to mind. Baby of the house, way there, because you're a woman, not because you've ever done anything. You literally can't have.
Brutal.
Yeah, so great. She also, of course, has her views on leftist culture, being the culture secretary. So left-wing snowflakes, a killing comedy, so on and so forth, the one you mentioned before. And also we have some more on this, because the thing in my mind is, because she's in charge of culture, she's also responsible for Section 127.
Ah.
Her department, they're the ones in charge of this now.
Oh, okay.
So if we go to the next one, just want to mention this. And if you are in mid-Bedfordshire and her constituent, if you're a watcher from there, be in contact with her office constantly about this, because she is your MP and also the one in charge of this. This is the route for it to be done, to get it abolished.
Right. Email. If you're in Bedfordshire, what was it? Mid-Bedfordshire.
It's the constituency.
Email her and ask her to either repeal it or just, you know, cripple it in some way. Do it.
Well, the Law Commission recommends repeal.
There we go.
You've got that backing. You don't even have to appeal to like the Free Speech Union, who also recommend appeal. The Law Commission, the government's own body, recommends repeal.
Email. Get emailing. But you've got to do it if you're in her constituency, because the MPs are really funny about that.
The way Britain works is an MP can only take on an issue of a constituent within their constituency.
So, yes, if you're in mid-Bedford, email. Get emailing now, now.
She also has an opinion on cancelling. So this is when, Julie Hartley Brewer was cancelled from giving some speech. She was no platformed. And in response, she said, "Our institutions are being taken over by the extreme left, who behaved in this infantile manner. What pathetic decision to take, RCGP. You no platform one of our biggest defenders of democracy and free speech."
I'm honestly expecting the next tweet to be like, "Yes, my favourite channel is Sargon of Akkad. Why do you ask?" Like, this is all my talking points. These are all the things I want done.
Yeah, I mean, just liberal stuff to fix the country.
Well,
So if we move on, we also have one more thing I found from her, which was interesting. So this was some debate in which some bent diversity hire was asking, "Why don't you do Labour's policies, please?" And she responded by just, "Get good scrub.
Why don't you get elected?"
Yeah, literally. She was just like, "Well, we were elected, so we have the mandate to carry out our policies. If you want your policies done, get elected." And then she sat down and was just like, "Go to hell." Worthless people. Just utterly pathetic.
Love it.
Anyway, so the last thing to mention on this is the Conservative chairman. So this is the guy who was previously the culture secretary, who I wasn't impressed with. He's been moved to the chairman of the party, apparently. So he decided to say, breaking, "Get ready for a general election." Now, Oliver, Doris is one hell of a force by the looks of it. Liz Truss is one hell of a force, but really doesn't look like the greatest thing to do.
Yeah, I wouldn't go for a general election now.
What's wrong with you?
Why would you? You've got the majority.
Like, they seem pretty cool, but like, let them prove themselves to be based before doing the election.
But what have you got to gain?
I know, right? Like, they have this massive majority, and they're like, "Yeah, now that we've raised taxes, election."
Yeah, no, that's a terrible idea.
Dumb idea.
Just fix the country. You've got, like, what, 3 years left or 4 years left? Just get it done.
But that's from the Telegraph, so I don't know how factual that is or not, but it's
that would be bloody
quoted
stupid.
As him as saying. But anyway, I just, I wanted to mention, apparently we now have another friend in a high place of freedom, and she's in the culture department. So, I mean, it's not like she's in finance or something that's not really relevant to culture.
Yeah,
no. She is culture warrior in chief of the British government, and knows where the chips lie and what needs to be done.
Yes.
And so get on with it. And if you're in mid-Bedfordshire, email her to your fingers bleed.
Yes. And well done, Boris, for doing something useful.
Yeah. Although he moved a lot around a lot of people, it's mostly just that's the one I'm excited about.
Yeah, but it can't be a coincidence that she became the culture secretary with all of those opinions.
I hope so.
Because, I mean, they would have had, you know, drinks in the number 10 bar or something on the
parliament. She's been a long defender of Boris.
She's obviously been going, Boris, this is all terrible. Why are we allowing this to happen? We've got to stop this. And it's like, okay, well, go ahead, Nadine.
It's like the ghost of based Boris back when he existed.
Okay, if it takes, you know, him, you know, giving the responsibility to someone else who can do it, okay, we'll let them do it, you know. But anyway. Let's talk about how women are on patrol against women. Because this is a phenomenon that has been going on since the dawn of time and will carry on until time ends, and we should get used to it and accept that this is just a facet of human nature. So, I mean, you get articles like this from the BBC. Women in politics face abuse daily from social media, and probably from Nadine Dorris. Women in politics have spoken of their experiences of dealing with sexism and hatred on social media while voicing their political opinions. Gender equality charity Something Welsh, Chware Teg.
Is that Welsh?
You tell me. Who put CH and W?
I don't know.
It's got to be Welsh, right? Said it feared a growing number of women were being put off standing for election due to online abuse. Two young women in politics have spoken about their experiences facing online abuse to BBC Politics Wales. Yeah, this is definitely Welsh. One member of the Labour Party wishes to remain anonymous, presumably who was on an all-woman shortlist, said she had to deal with sexist attacks on media every day.
Storm Butler.
Yeah, it's bound to be.
No, it's going to be Claudia Webb, isn't it?
Possibly.
Like, you're calling me, you're being racist. What did I say? I said you were shit in Parliament. Sorry, swear.
That's right. Well, incidentally, trigger warning, I guess. I get called a whore, that I'm a slut, that I should put my tits away, that I'm unintelligent, that I'm an idiot, that I should go away and bake a cake instead, which was my personal favourite. They claim I'm uneducated, I have no place in politics, you get this daily, it's recurrent.
Yep. Public life.
Does that sound like the kind of criticism that a man would make?
Some of them. Go bake a cake.
Maybe.
Get back in the kitchen.
But that you're a whore, a slut, and you should put your tits away? That's somewhere else. Anyway.
I can see men making those.
Yeah, but not often. Anyway, moving on. This means that the social media giants have pledged to tackle abuse. Now, what I love about this is literally what happened 5 years ago, and nothing changed. And there's nothing changed because you can't stop people from being mean to one another, especially on something like Twitter, where it's a platform that's designed for people to just be mean to each other all day, every day. Get off Twitter, it's cancer. But I love this. You know, they've all signed up to the pledge led by the World Wide Web Foundation to fix the persistent weaknesses on how they tackle online and gender-based violence. More than a third of women worldwide have experienced abuse online, rising to almost half for younger women, according to one study. The four tech companies have pledged to tackle the abuse that focuses on those two major controls, blah, blah, blah. And the senior policy manager says, for too long, women have been routinely harassed and attacked and subsequently silenced in online spaces. This is a huge threat to the progress on gender equality. With their resources and reach, these four companies have the power to curb this abuse and improve online experiences for hundreds of millions of women and girls. But the thing is, what they forget is that hundreds of millions of women and girls love calling each other sluts. They love it. They live for it. They live to be horrible to other women online. In the same way that I live to be horrible to Hassan Piker online. It's one of those things that just gets you up in the morning. Because literally half of the misogynistic tweets that women receive are from other women. Listen, you whore, put your tits away. This is all coming from women. Like, not even joking. So, you know, they did a study on this. 6,500 users targeted by like 10,000 abusive tweets in the UK. And then they did another one, 200,000 aggressive tweets using the word slut and whore. And half of those were sent by women patrolling each other. And just, we'd like to thank you. Salutes in the chat to those wonderful women who are out there patrolling. And this, there are loads of great examples of this. This was just, what inspired this was this article that I found here. And this, you can see exactly why women are just like, listen, you slag. Go to the next one, John.
Yeah, she probably puts her tits away.
Yes, right. So this model has revealed her bullying hell after promoting a sushi restaurant on Instagram. Just go back up to the picture. Believe it or not, she's promoting a sushi restaurant.
I'm here for sushi.
Boobs front and center in the picture. Literally, where your eyes draw naturally to is her exposed cleavage and like half of a nipple, it looks like.
I didn't even notice it was sushi originally.
Yeah, exactly. I didn't even know she was at a restaurant. I thought she was in the living room or something. You know, but anyway. She, Emily Hawthorne, posed wearing a low-cut dress in her home, and she promoted a restaurant for Valentine's Day. Oh, she's at home. And she had a panic attack when she read the comments. The restaurant issued a statement condemning the shocking abuse she had received and said it hoped that women can dine in their homes in this time of great challenge, dressing however they feel comfortable. Well, not if women have anything to say about it, right? Because she said she wanted to delete herself and was appalled by the misogynistic comments posted by other women. Well done, ladies. I happened to check the comments to see how the photo was doing, and the number of vile things being said about me was truly shocking. I was physically shaking. I had a panic attack. Well, you could always just, you know, what's that Tyler, the Creator tweet? I can't say it because it's the N word. But just close your eyes, log off.
Oh,
like
how is cyberbullying real?
You know, ha ha ha. Yeah, close your eyes, log off. But she's having a panic attack. But what was genuinely dreadful is that most of the comments were from women saying rude things and tagging their friends. Oi, look at this slag. Honestly, I totally support. I was always taught that women should support women, so to see the harsh comments from females was horrible. In what universe? In what universe is there a sisterhood? When you're out here flaunting, hey, you're more attractive than the average woman, right? You've got your boobs out. They're like, right, my man's looking at that. Patrol. Get those away, you whore. You are a bad person. That's what they're thinking, and rightfully so. Don't get me wrong. Right, and so the thing about this, though, is that social media is not good for women. Generally, it seems to be actually causing great deals of depression. And so what you should probably do, generally, and this is just a rule of thumb for everyone, get off social media. I realize it's ironic, considering whether we're going to be posting this to social media, but it's still true. As hypocritical as it sounds. But anyway, so a study out this year reported that 15-year-olds in the UK are among the most miserable in the world. Thanks. So a society, technology, progress has made children miserable.
Yeah, but most miserable in the world doesn't mean it's necessarily technology.
I think it does.
But like everywhere's got technology.
No.
Sorry, everywhere in the West.
Yes.
And the East.
Yeah, and where do you think the most miserable kids are? In the West.
In Britain.
Not just in Britain.
But how does that compare to France or America or Canada?
Yeah, but they're Western countries, right? How does that compare to, like, you know, India or, you know, Indonesia or something?
Yeah, but you see my point. Like, it's hard to blame it all on social media if it's, you know, all of these countries got social media, but Britain's the lowest.
Yeah, but it's not just social media. It's okay. Technology generally, right?
So,
anyway. So we ranking 8th out of the fewest, like the lowest 45 countries in terms of life satisfaction, worse than poorer nations, including Mexico and Bulgaria, with 1 in 5 girls blaming bullying and the pressures of social media. As a report last month said, 1 in 4 girls age 14 is suffering from depression, double the number at a similar age 12 years ago. So social media is not good for girls, and it's because they're patrolling each other constantly. Women are savage to one another when it got on an emotional level. And if they're given unfettered access to be able to talk to any woman in the world, oh, they're even more savage. Now they're not even face to face. They can't even see the tears. Mm. They can't even see the heartbreak on your face. So they don't go, get in there.
Jordan Peterson's made this point, hasn't he? Mm. Where he's like, well, the whole dynamic of women is that it's emotional destruction,
yep,
is the weapon they've got, whereas for men, it's physical destruction,
yep,
like fighting, right? So social media is perfectly made for emotional destruction.
Yep.
And, well, women are the best at it.
They're professionals. They love it. Get your tits away, you whore. And by comparison, fewer than 1 in 10 boys report the same condition at the same age. Because as you say, boys will just go beat each other up. And the thing is, after one person's beating the other up, that's generally where it ends.
But also, they're just bad at emotional destruction.
Yeah. Because it's just stupid.
It's dumb.
Oh, you got a funny face. I don't care what you think. Come fight me behind the bike sheds. I'll fucking kick your ass. Anyway. Bearing in mind that this is the generation of women raised under the girl power banner, we have to ask, what's gone wrong? Well, what's gone wrong is you've literally weaponized, empowered women to be horrible bitches to one another. And what can you do about it? What can be done? It's got to be banning them from social media. That's the only thing. There's nothing else you're going to do. You're not going to stamp down on that natural urge for women to be on patrol of one another emotionally. You're not going to be able to do
that. You're not going to reform society.
You're not going to reform women.
Yeah.
You're not going to do that. So it's got to be banning women from social media. And man, that's going to be good, isn't it? Like, that's going to be good. Hey, I'm not the one who's saying, you know, I'm not the one.
I mean, it largely is already. Like, a lot of spaces online are segregated by just choice.
There are no women allowed on your social media platform. That's right. It's for your own good. Because you're miserable.
New policy at Gab.
You have to live like women in Bulgaria.
I'd love a Gab poster. It's like, as a valid feminist, we're going to defend the mental health of women.
All I'm saying is that unironically, women in Afghanistan have more of better mental health than women in Britain. That's true.
Did the poll include Afghanistan?
Well, probably not, but like, includes lots of places that are like Afghanistan. Anyway, self-harm among girls, and the thing is, right, this is genuinely a real problem, right? Self-harm among girls has risen 68% in the last 3 years, and experts believe that social media is the thing that's putting extra pressure on the girls. It's undoubtedly. I mean, I've seen it in myself and with my own daughter. I don't let her use, like, various... I don't let her use social media. She hasn't got, like, Facebook or anything like that. Because that's what you get. It's gangs of girls ganging up on who they think is a vulnerable girl. I've seen, like, WhatsApp chats and stuff like that. It's like, no, just not having it. Not having it. It's bad for the mental health. I'm not letting them do it. And I don't think you should let your own kids do it either. Anyway, so this, they give the one example of a young lady called Hannah Adams, who was you know, being bullied by other girls and then started to self-harm. And she says she had no other option. She just didn't know what to do. And sadly, this low level of self-esteem and depression is far from unusual when it comes to teenage girls. A study reported this year that 15-year-old girls are the most miserable in the world, blah, blah, blah. And this is double the number at a similar age 12 years ago. What's significant about 12 years ago? That's right, no social media. In the era before social media, it was half as bad for young women. And now it's twice as bad. So, like, why are we not going to take that seriously? If you are, you know, someone who loves women and cares about women, and especially teenage girls, and doesn't want them, say, your daughters to hurt themselves, you've got to really start thinking, right, okay, what are my options here? Do we somehow make young girls stop bullying each other meanly? Or do we just prevent them from having a giant platform with which to weaponize this across the entire world? Your choice. Anyway, they say, you know, what's gone wrong, blah, blah, blah. So, I mean, what the government are trying to do is pledge $1.4 billion to children's mental health services. But that's not going to work. That's not going to be enough. You know, this is just, like, you can't think that you can just pour money into the, like, excesses of the problem without, you know, hitting the root of the thing.
Well, you could.
Well, it's not going to work.
So, well, no, take cigarettes, for example.
Right.
Like, there's a huge tax on cigarettes in the UK, tobacco, to then pay for the NHS to deal with people with lung cancer and other cancers, right? So, like, you run a tax on Twitter and Facebook.
A women's tax for social media.
You want to say, you know, if you want to be mean online, you got to pay a tax, and then that helps pay for the mental health.
Well, no, but
you'd end up taxing not the women, but the companies.
But that's the point, though. You don't need it for the boys. And so...
Yeah.
For every woman that's using social media... The company has to pay a tax.
Yes.
That's a very interesting incentive. That's a very interesting incentive.
Hey, I'm just looking to the NHS for advice. Like,
I mean, that's what, yeah, I mean, what are we going to do? I mean, when Twitter's like, well, we're siloing women on our platform because they're being abused, so we can't have women talking to one another on Twitter.
They can only talk to men.
Just, I mean, anyway, so yes. This is awful. So, bullying isn't the only problem that girls are facing, and it's because of Instagram, basically, I think. They're also woefully unhappy, according to one psychologist, Dr. Linda Papadopoulos, which sounds like a joke name, but it's not.
It's Greek, isn't it?
Yeah. They're also woefully unhappy because of the comparison culture that's fueled by social media. Now, you'll have seen this, where you've got young women who are of, you know, middling to average, you know, above average attractiveness, who spend like 6 hours painting their faces, like getting perfect angles, like pinning their clothes behind them and stuff like this, setting up the perfect shot, and then just, you know, putting up and going no filter or whatever, you know. It's like, yeah, like, no, this was a big artistic project to make you look pretty, and this is making teenage girls feel bad about themselves in the same way that feminists were complaining, oh, well, look at the Photoshop models in the, you know, Cosmopolitan and stuff like that. It's making them feel bad about themselves. So, yeah. So basically, now women are going to have to be banned from Instagram. I'm loving the future. Loving it.
I thought that was like a policy proposal then. I thought you were going somewhere.
I'm not the one who runs Instagram, but if you want to deal with these problems, it's going to have to be something here. And again, like, this is all natural. It's all just, you know, women, what women do naturally that's, you know, on steroids because it can be done on massive scale now. Anyway, they say, you know, we only compare up, worrying we're not as tall or pretty or smart as others. We're only compared down because we're constantly shown the ultimate of people's lives. Beach shots, gorgeous outfits and fabulous days out, not our lousy moments. And this comparison culture is not restricted to thigh gaps and filter-perfect holidays either. We obsess, excuse me, about success. Everyone compares themselves to each other. Schools are being judged. Kids feel enormous pressure to perform. Lucky I'm doing better than all my friends, really, isn't it? Just joking, guys. Anyway, this is a statement backed up by a recent poll of 16 and 17-year-olds by the National Citizen Service, which found 72% of girls had cried over exam stress, 62% had felt so anxious before an exam that they thought had been sick, and 60% said their biggest worry for the whole year is they wouldn't get the results they wanted. And so what is to be done? What can be done? What are the options here? There is, like, apparently unprecedented pressure, according to the NSPCC, to achieve more and work harder due to competition for uni places and a decreasing job market. Huh. So they're looking at the jobs they're not going to be able to get because of competition from immigration, and they're feeling a lot of pressure. What can be done? I'm not saying anything.
I'm waiting for it.
I'm not saying anything.
All right.
but yeah, so anyway, this is a serious problem. And it is one that is not going away for women. And it is all a part of the natural outgrowth of what women are like socially. And unless you think you can engineer women's social behaviours to not be this way, well, I guess we just have to think about what the future holds. But either way, it looks like women are suffering and the boys are just like, nah, I'm just going to go get a fight, mate.
Just not worried.
No. This is not a problem for boys at all, it seems. Like, very, very, like, literally, like, less than 10% of it for boys. It's a huge problem for girls.
Should we go to the video comments?
Yes.
I know that it's been out for a little while, but I just watched it, and... monkey...
I love the Eldar memes about that as well.
Yeah,
it's like, how do the Eldar see the humans? It's just lucky. Yeah.
We'll do the part two of that next week.
All right.
So today I received a death threat in the post, which has been a bit disturbing, and I just wondered, really, guys, can you give me any advice about what I should do? This was it. I think they're threatening to hang me.
Sorry, because it's a ribbon.
Yeah,
I presume.
Yeah, yeah. I think that maybe if you've got any unwanted clothes, they will leave you alone in exchange for them.
You better make the offering. Although I suppose if you're British, you could always report it to the police, and they have to take that seriously because we are a clown country.
Yeah. In fact, that would be funny, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
To answer Callum's question from yesterday, yes, there are people living in that area because. This is the European Union, and people can just move across borders as they like. Therefore, there are a lot of Danes working at the German border and vice versa. In fact, German is a language taught in Danish elementary school, so German is a very common third language for Danes. Sprechen Sie Deutsch, Carlem? That's right. I speak three languages. Ich spreche drei Sprachen.
That's very good.
Nice.
How's your German?
Not great. But yeah, you saw it in Germany, so.
Yeah. It's probably better than mine. I mean, I lived out there for 8 years. This is how I knew I was on a colony. Because I didn't have to learn German at all. Zug means train, didn't you know? That's all.
Beer when did you ever use that one?
When I had to get on the train somewhere.
All right. Well, you're just like, oi!
Yeah.
Krau!
You know.
Where's the Zug?
Well, basically, I'd be like, you know, Zug, and they'd be like, this way. And I'd be like, thank you. Bitter. That means thank you.
No.
Doesn't it?
No.
What does it mean?
How do you say thank you in German again? Dankeschön.
Yeah, but...
bitter is like, I can't remember. I think it's like welcome or something like that.
I thought it meant cheers or something. Those are informal.
No, that's Prost.
Okay. So, I mean, you know, that's why I spoke English everywhere.
Let's go to the next one.
What you're seeing here is 20 minutes of footage sped up at 40 and a half times so I can fit into 30 seconds. That's why I'm not sure I could do some kind of live stream or whatnot. Most of my footage is just good for being sped up into 2 to 6 minute clips. The closest thing to a live stream is when we do the gold tier Zoom calls. For the last two of them, I've had my camera on and I've been actively working for the hour during the live stream. So I guess the next gold tier Zoom call we do, if you're scrolling through the idle screens, you'll probably see me working.
It's just mesmerizing watching stuff being put together, though.
I was more thinking, like, it must take you some time to do that, right? When it's not spread up. So, like, a live stream of you just making the things for, like, an hour. I can't remember. Is that his job again as well?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I'd watch it. I just put on YouTube, see how many people you get watching. Yeah. You get loads.
It's be a laugh.
Yeah. I came across this thing on Facebook where it was basically a woman who had recorded like a swimming pool, and some guys had come over to fix the diving board, and she was just like, I can't believe that there's just men congregating around them fixing the diving board. And she saw these men who are just like watching things being fixed. So yeah, it just feels right. It's proper.
What do you reckon the guy at the top is doing the drilling felt about all that?
Well, he's yeah, no, I'm doing a decent job. If you see anything wrong, you tell me.
All right.
Yeah, that's probably what it was.
I believe Sophie, before my holiday, said that she was annoyed about how the West is so subverted and we don't have any heroic hero stories these days, just subversion and deconstructions of heroes. If only there was a non-subverted, non-Western country that wrote a heroic story. Maybe even Shadowversity on YouTube calling it the modern-day He-Man story. A non-Western country just making a story about what it's like to be a hero. If only that just existed. And that's really not coming to me, I'm sorry. I can't think of one.
I'm not watching any weeb crap.
Yeah, it's just not happening for me either.
No. My daughter loves that as well.
Oh, does she?
Oh, she's a huge fan of that, so...
Is she going to do cosplay or something?
Not on my watch.
Are you going to be... Not in this household. No.
Maybe when she moves out and is paying her own rent.
Well, it's the future. Let's go to the next one.
For Daniel Neal, in the beginning was the Logos. Logos is Christ. Logos is God. Logos is reason to argument, the object of worship. If something cannot be argued with reason, it is not Christian. Any theology that suggests otherwise is simply internally incoherent. On the other hand, Carl is using reasoned argument, logos, daily, living it, applying it, being faithful to it. Belief has nothing to do with logos. To suggest that Carl needs to believe in anything is absurd when he is already living the Christian ideal by fully embracing logos in his life.
You may not believe in God, but you are a Christian. You're doing the praxis of Christianity right there.
Well, that's what he's saying. Yeah. That's exactly what he's saying. Listen.
How'd you feel, Christ cuck?
I'm saying that virtue has been around for many, many, many centuries before Christ, and Christ is a late comer when it comes to my way of looking at the world. But, you know, if he wants to tag along, that's fine.
Cope.
Moving on. Oh,
cope!
I just
want to pee you off.
All right, fine, let's go.
I'm just messing with you.
Next one.
Carl, your criticism of the Christian conservatives is spot on. I agree.
Oh, well, thank you. I'm glad I didn't offend anyone.
All right.
Sorry for the poor audio quality yesterday, but Carl actually made a portion of my point to a previous comment. Religion was instilling principles like natural rights into people by browbeating them. We should believe in these principles because God says so, but these principles are based in reason. In recent history, few were reinforcing the argument for natural rights, opting for an appeal that God gave us our natural rights. I was never taught the justification for natural rights, since people are not being taught why certain rights are natural, inalienable, and universal by virtue of them being human, it doesn't surprise me that more people are believing that rights are a social construction as society becomes less religious.
No, that's a good point. And especially as we're being essentially subverted by the French. So they believe that rights are constructed by the state and can be positive in nature, which is just not true. But on the plus side, I think that like actually being the thing that you're claiming to be is a much more persuasive argument than being a fat socialist who live in a mansion saying, hey, we're going to redistribute the means of production if you just donate to my Patreon. You know, that's far less convincing to me than someone who's actually doing the thing they claim that is a good thing.
Yeah. Not actually being the bourgeoisie.
Yes.
Like, it's a pretty weird way of doing the revolution, comrade.
Again, it just strikes me as incredibly conservative. How could you not be like, yes, well, I mean, I want the revolution just tomorrow, you know, because I'm about to go and swim in my nice heated pool.
After the video game.
Yeah, exactly. Like, and then, yeah, go and smoke some weed while playing video games. And the revolution tomorrow, comrade. And tomorrow, and it's never going to end, is it?
Obvious BS.
Deeply conservative. Yeah.
I don't know what to do with those people, though, because, I mean, do you describe that as a grift or not? Because it's like they...
Obvious grift.
Some part of me thinks they genuinely do believe it, but, like...
Sure, but they're not going to do it.
But in, like, an Orwellian way, where it's like they've got, doublethink?
Yeah, sure, but it's massive cope, isn't it? If I was sat there going, look, I'm going to go and exercise tomorrow. I'm just going to sit here and eat...
I'm at the keto diet tomorrow.
Yeah, exactly. Like, I'm going to eat a cake today, I'll do the keto diet tomorrow, and then tomorrow and tomorrow. It would still be a grift.
Yeah, you're not really a keto bro then, are you?
Exactly. Yeah.
Look, Mr. Unnamed, I'm sure what you have to say is great, but because you sound like a Cassidy mess or something like that, no, I, for one, just cannot stand to listen to you. This comes from a place of love. Please, practice your diction. It will help you and everyone who wants to listen to you. Please.
Alrighty.
I love that the comments are patrolling each other now.
Yeah. Well, we've had them selling each other stuff, yeah. Trying to meet up with each other.
I mean, I'm all fine with all of this, to be honest. You never know what's...
Sorry.
You never know what's going to come up next, you know?
I like the idea that we're going to have to basically have like a social media list.
Yeah, basically.
That's the comment section.
No, but it's cute. I like
just
it.
Just sitting here drinking or something. Like. Yeah. Anyway, let's go to the next one.
I shared this article on Facebook showing that teenage boys are more at risk from vaccines than from COVID. Quoting this article of a study of 12 to 15-year-old boys. Facebook said, oh no, it's been debunked. Why don't you check our fact checkers? Fact checkers say, oh, it's definitely been debunked. Here is a study in which it is debunked. However, their debunking study is this one from the New England Journal of Medicine, which only studied people over 16 years of age. They are lying.
Yeah.
Again, we should put these out on social media, these amazing video comments.
Heathcliff's always done a great job with these ones as well. Like the debunking people. I just don't know how everyone accepts that in mainstream politics. Like, yeah, we'll have the fact checkers. It's like literally Ministry of Truth.
Yeah.
Like anyone could have told you in any other time period this is a terrible idea.
Yes.
And now it's just the norm.
I mean, I just assume they're lying.
Yeah.
Whenever I see a fact check or a debunk, I'm just like, yeah, what this is motivated reasoning. You have a reason to try and say that this is not true, and so you just find anything and it turns out to be lies.
Let's go to the next one.
Okay, I actually have a serious question today. A philosophical question.
Oh.
The philosophy of cuckolding. So let's say there's one girl and she has four boyfriends. So here we have one thought and four cucks, right? But I'm not so sure. The first guy is definitely a cuck. She wants a good D and he ain't got it. But the next guy, all he really did was f*** somebody else's girlfriend. So isn't he kind of Chad? Obviously the most humane thing to do here would just be to kill everyone involved. But what are you going to do? So the question is, what do you really see here? Are there four cucks? Is there one cuck and three Chads? Or does each new man progressively cuck the last one?
It depends on the relationship between her and the previous cucks. Man.
Well, also the in-between ones. Because it's like, you know that famous image of like a really fat woman with the four boyfriends? And like, I have to wonder if there's just like one she has sex with and the other ones do the housework or something.
Yeah. Well, no, she'll probably have sex with them all eventually.
Yeah, but that's the thing. It's like, you know, if there's only one she's having sex with, really, it's like, okay, she's having like pithy sex with
but
the other
ones. If you look at them, they're all obvious cucks. And so it's like, look, she's not, you know, she's, you know, just rotating probably once a month or something with each one. But the point is, she's not into any of them, really.
Mm. And how does it work in reverse for female cuckoldry, then? Is that even a thing?
Well, probably. I mean, like, you've got the sort of top 20% of men who are, like, you know, the sort of Chad guys who go on social media, get, like, loads of unattractive women, and the women, you know, constantly begging, you know, come over. It's like, I can't. And then they make up some crappy excuse. And the women always post it to social media. It's like, he said he's had too much spaghetti. No, he's seeing some other girl. he didn't, I'm too busy.
I can't see you. I've had too much spaghetti.
No, I literally saw that going around on social media the other day. It's just like, yeah, he's seeing someone else. That's what that is. So, yeah.
Carl, if you're sick of all the nonsense philosophy and the politics, it's an audiobook as well, man. You can listen to it while you paint your figurines. Yeah. And it's got a good dadist parable in it, too.
Okay. You're winning me over. Yeah, with the audiobook thing, is just more convenient. So.
Chat's making the point that it depends on who's a cuck, whether or not she pegs them.
No, this doesn't depend on that.
Well, no, if she has sex with three and then pegs the other one, like, that one's definitely the cuck. It's like Uber cuck.
God, sure. Okay, well, sure, I mean, like, relative levels, you know. Well, in the scale of, like, when we've crossed the threshold into cuckoldry and now, you know, the guy at the bottom is, like, the Uber cuck.
Like, you know that ice
Chad cuck versus Uber cuck.
Yeah, like the Wojax. You, like, start with the Chad and then there's, like, different levels of, yeah. Oh, God. Let's go to the next one.
Hey Lotus Eaters, Tony D and Little Joan here with a political video. Carl, really great job on the CRT stuff yesterday. I just wanted to add to that for those of you who'd like to drill down further. James Lindsay has a YouTube channel called New Discourses where he drills down into Anthony Grabsky, Hegel, Marx, and Herbert Marcuse. As he says, the woke use the same vocabulary but not the same dictionary. You're very rude.
I was going to ask, does she bark every time you speak in your house or just when you do these?
But he is absolutely right about James Lindsay. I will be getting to Gramsci and Marcuse at some point, but I'm just going through it backwards, basically. Do the critical race theory stuff first and then go through those. But Lindsay's great.
I don't think I've watched much of Lindsay. I've seen little clips of him, but I've never really sat down and listened to a thing he's done.
Yeah, he's really good. For an hour. Really good.
Should give it a go. Okay.
Playing fetch with the cat.
Hmm.
Interesting.
The cat's becoming more right wing.
We'll domesticate them one day.
Yeah, we'll turn them into dogs.
Yeah.
Civilized.
I've got to say, the cats are cute.
For a bit.
They are.
But anyway. So we're talking about the joke we had in the office about, like, Hugo said that there's a Czech prime minister.
We'll save it for another time. Yeah, we'll save it for another time.
Okay.
What we'll do is we'll get, like, a list of sources and stuff, and we'll actually do a proper thing on it. It's really hilarious.
At the closing of the polls, before anyone goes home, the ballots are counted by hand by the deputy returning officer, in clear view of multiple witnesses, including poll supervisors and any candidate representatives that are present. The DRO examines each ballot, determines whether it is valid, declares to everyone present who the ballot is for, and shows it to everyone for complete transparency. After all the ballots are counted and recorded, the results are reported to the returning office by the poll supervisor. All materials are then sealed in envelopes and maintained securely for 10 years.
Alrighty.
I mean, I honestly am at the point now where I just think the left-wing parties across the West have decided that it's acceptable to be so unbelievably corrupt that fortification is just not a problem. It's not a moral issue for them. A moral issue is a loss for them. So like Gavin Newsom, oh, he sailed through the pot. Yeah, sure he did. Justin Trudeau, he's going to sail through. Yeah, sure he will.
It took one day to count those Newsom recalls, but, you know, 3 weeks for some of the swing states.
Yeah, just, you know, they knew what the result was going to be.
I still don't get that. Like, when they went on, it's late, I'm going home. Like, there's an election to do.
Yeah. I'm absolutely certain the left is justified and has realised that fortification can work in areas that they control.
And so we have the examples in the UK.
Exactly. Yeah. Cool. And they just don't care.
Let's go to the next one.
Online groups or communities around a hobby or something similar often seem religious. I see this in people one-upping one another via proving their knowledge on the subject, which is the religious equivalent to demonstrating their closeness to God. Mm. Carl, do you agree? Mm. And how would you distinguish between healthy and unhealthy hobby groups and religious groups?
Well, I think you're exactly right that it is essentially like, because and it even fits through their own philosophy as well. Because if they are saying, well, look, we're all going to be the sort of rational Kantian legislators, then everyone is essentially taking the position of God and then having a massive debate about who can, you know, produce the most morally rational legislation. This is just the religious aspect saying, well, God said so, therefore, right? And they're trying to discover essentially the morality of God, and it's about purity and goodness when they one-up one another. This is where you see the most Puritan position of the left becomes the one that wins the argument every single time. The appeal for reality is like, why would you appeal for reality? That's the bad thing. You know, I'm going for the divine, you know, feminism or whatever it is that, you know, what women should have or whatever. You're completely right. And a healthy community is just one that allows discourse and discord and doesn't demonize outsiders. Basically, those things that don't make a cult, don't be excessively reliant on one leader, allow people from outside to be good people, and just, you know, don't be weird and controlling. That's it.
The other thing I was thinking of is religious hobby groups. Mm-hmm. So I remember I was with Robinson once at something, and he looked and he turned to some like billboard, mm-hmm. you know, like little events clogged into it, right?
Yeah.
He's looking because he's waiting. He reads out, he goes, "Muslim women's only bike riding club." Just like, what? Like, they can't even bike ride with other people. They've got to bike ride with themselves. It's just like, weird.
Anyway, Omar says, "Colbert and his late night peers haven't been funny since they all joined the Ministry of Comedy. After getting more and more red-pilled, I'm not sure they've ever been funny, not when Nicki Minaj can upstage them in a couple of tweets." Yeah, I know, right? I mean, I was just, honestly, I was living for this Nicki Minaj, like, BTFOing. Of all of the people I want to see BTFO'd, it's just like, Hassan Piker, you're a moron. Duffy says,
Did you see Leo's, the Ministry of Comedy or whatever, that's regulating comedy now in the UK?
No.
Like, he spoke about it. It's some organisation, and they're the ones now regulate stand-up. It's like, yeah, that'll make a stand-up better.
Why would you want to regulate stand-up?
I know, it's such a
weird
thing.
Who has the authority to do that?
But the best part was is someone wrote into them saying that Leo was a racist. So the head of diversity of the stand-up regulator investigated him and then sent him a letter saying, "We believe you're not a racist. Feel free to show this letter to industry professionals or venues to prove it." And it was just like, what? Like, you've got a sign from the like officially not a racist. Of I'm not a racist.
Unbelievable.
He might be the only person in the UK from an organization from the government that's got that.
We actually have government approved racists and non-racists.
Yes. Amazing,
God,
right?
Damn it. No, it's awful. Like, this is ridiculous. This is clown work.
Yeah, I know, but that's why I'm laughing. It's past caring.
Anyway, back to the Nicki Minaj stuff. Duffy says, it seems the Democrats and the left in general have revived the fugitive slave patrol against Minaj. One can only hope this incident will help her fans see around the lies they've been sold. Yeah, well, I mean, I looked at a lot of her replies from the people who follow her. And, I mean, she seems to have been waking up a few people. You know, student of history 2021 bingo. Nicki Minaj claims the title of queen of e-trolls by utterly essing on everyone and everything that smells like authority and wants to speak up. Yeah, I love it. I love it. Andre says, unfortunately, Nicki Minaj is a big pawn of the left to influence young people. So I'm afraid soon she will be forced to apologize and disavow Tucker Carlson to avoid cancellation and repudiation from her peers and Democrats. Yes, that will happen. But again, everyone will have to see it happen because she was unrepentant in her position here, and when she then goes back on it, it will be just manifestly obvious.
But she shoves the marbles up her ass.
Exactly. You know, and Tucker Carlson's like, well, you shouldn't be bullied into it, and it will be very, very clear that she was bullied into it. So anyway, yeah, let them carry on being bullies. Brad says, weird, I had the vaccine twice now, and on the first my left testicle went hard. Went to the doctors, the test came back negative, including ultrasound. Been months since I had the second, gone back to normal now. No impotence though, couldn't have done too much damage. My wife is now pregnant with our first child. Well, congratulations. And yeah, I expect that sort of thing would be a temporary side effect. I mean, most of these things are temporary, aren't they? 2021, never thought I'd find myself siding with Nicki Minaj over the UK government, but here we are. UK Conservative government as well. Not as based as Nicki Minaj.
No.
That's embarrassing, isn't it? I mean, what was the woman's name that we covered today?
Nadine Dorris,
yeah.
Hopefully she can change some things.
Maybe she can get Nicki Minaj over and teach them a few things, yeah.
Like, well, she's the culture secretary.
Exactly.
They very regularly interact with stars.
Absolutely. Don't even require her to get vaccinated. Alpha of the Beta says, Nicki Minaj is pissed off crazy and firing all me cannons. Welcome to the salty army. Yeah, I know. I mean, if she tweets out Pepe now, that'll be gold. Tyber Fett says, it's sad to say that I think our best hope in the culture wars to celebs like Nicki Minaj getting cancelled as the best way to pull in the uninformed and uninvolved into the debate. Kanye was always a bit off, but Nicki is more popular. If you could switch the black perspective on the Democrat Party, it's going to be via pop culture relevant stories. Correct. Ragnar says, it's really nice that we're getting some base changes in the cabinet, but I also feel like I've been burned so many times by the Conservatives, I'm going to need to see much more before I forget that a ton of them have a little cry about the party instead of stepping up and reforming it.
Absolutely. Yeah. Like, I don't blame anyone for a second. That's why I'm sort of looking at this like, yeah, it'd be cool. Like, she seems all right. So if she does some good things. But otherwise, I'm not really to be excited about anyone else. No.
I mean, it's just the kind of dearth of options, though, isn't it? That's the problem. Mm. S.H. Silver says, to my understanding, there were already based cabinet members that received praise from you guys. But what impact did they honestly have on the Conservative government regarding the march of immigration, gender ideology, or medical tyranny? Well, he's got a point, doesn't he?
Well, there are two that I praised in the past that did do the good. I don't know who else I've praised. I know you like Dominic Raab and whatnot, but...
Well, yeah, I mean, he did in, like, 2017 or something, stand up to feminism, right? But that, I guess, has collapsed in on us.
So my two specifics would be Kemi Badenoch and Liz Truss, and both of them did do the work. So they did fundamentally the first work of getting Stonewall deplatformed from loads of government institutions.
Good
That's
point.
All gone.
Yeah.
Also in law, sanctifying that if teachers teach critical race theory to students, they are breaking the law in the UK.
Yep.
US is a different situation for some reason. But over here, you are breaking the law and you will get a prison sentence or fines and so on and so forth. You know, those two have done good things and they deserve the praise for that.
And I do like Priti Patel. I think she's got the right stance on immigration. It's just she's wrangling with the Home Office. I don't know what the ins and outs are. I mean, she's already bullied Philip Putnam out of his job, which is fantastic. You know, I'm being bullied by this little woman. Good. Anyway, but yeah, you are right that we are being there's a bit of copium and hopium being huffed here, but. Yeah, you can't have a black pill.
No,
every
I have
day.
To. You know, there are the two ministers who did good and did the good things. Mm. The rest of them, yeah, of course. Mm. You know, kind of worthless.
So yeah, the Tories just need a boost of approval after failing their base regarding the vaccine, so they temporarily back off the passport plan. Notice the lack of permanent language. I did notice that. Good point out. And then do what appears to be base in order to throw some red meat. Yes, but I mean, why don't they just do that every day? I just don't understand why they don't do this every day.
I don't either.
This could be a daily occurrence where we're just like, yay, good Tories. BTFOing the left.
Yes, imagine doing things that the Tory voters wanted.
Yeah.
What a weird idea.
Imagine being popular rather than actually sinking below Labour in the opinion polls. Like, that's happened. That's recently happened. Keir Starmer, literally the John Major of the Labour Party, just a grey, lifeless husk of a man who just exists because the alternative is commie-lover, terrorist-loving Jeremy Corbyn, and he's more popular than you. It's like, Boris, you've got so much more charisma than these people. Like, all you need to do is come out and just make the British argument for why you should do conservative things.
Just go back to 2019, Boris.
Yeah. Just be like, yeah, screw the left. Like, when he was, like, mocking the anarcho-syndicalist fringe, now is not the time for disagreements and stuff like that. It's like, yeah, keep going that. Because no one respects these people. No one likes them. It's
all,
just
all the articles talking about banning the book.
Yeah. Ban those letterboxes. You don't need them. Anyway. So, yeah, I agree with you, S.A. Silver. I'm also very cynical. But I've got to say, the screeching from the left was authentic. It was authentic screeching that was coming out of the left. And that's good. Like I said about Andrew Neil, if they're not screeching, are you even doing your job? Anyway, moving on. Student of History says, wait, is she's promoting something? Also, low cut, Jesus, that's an understatement. Ladies on Thought Patrol, especially the married and in a relationship women. Yeah, because they've got something to lose. You know, they've got their man's attention to lose. And so it's natural and right that women in relationships would be on the most patrol, and they should be. Sam says, social media issue reminds me of a story by Jordan Peterson. He had a friend call him saying his roommate was disappointed he wasn't as successful as his roommate, and his roommate was Elon Musk. Well, yeah, I mean, don't work. Like, Jordan Peterson's point is, compare yourself to who you were yesterday and the day before, 5 years ago, right? Don't worry about the people around you because they're different to you. You know, you're not going to be the same as them, but you could be better than what you were. And that's a much more healthy way of looking at it. XYZNZ. There was a comedian I heard years ago who said, women aren't satisfied until they've driven their opponents into having an eating disorder. That's correct. That's totally true. Right?
That's a brutal way of putting it.
Isaac says, women are cruel to other women. Imagine my shock. Yeah, but imagine the difficulty that Silicon Valley has now. It's like, right, we've got to protect women from who? Women. What? What do we do? We're going to ban women? Silo women?
You did this to everyone you decided who was toxic. Yeah. So if women are toxic, then... Yeah.
We ban the Nazis. Ban the... Well, no, I was going to say ban the Taliban, but they aren't banned.
No, they're allowed on.
Taliban weirdly allowed
ban
on.
Ban the conservatives. Ban the Trump MAGA movement.
Yeah.
Ban a bunch of liberals because, I don't know, bored.
Because they say jokes. And yeah, so now women, you've got to stop being mean to each other. Or else you lose your social media privileges. JJHW, making women only have to only talk to men on social media will end incels forever. Win-win.
Yeah.
This is great, actually. I like the way this is all working out. Girls' mental health, child protection charities did not take the view that children should not be on social media and respond to the online harms white paper. Rather, those charities wanted a duty of care and the ability to sue social media companies. Charities need damaged children and someone with money to blame and sue. Filth. Great point, Bart, actually. That's a really great point. The correct thing is, of course, to not have children using social media. End of story, full stop. Robert says, at Based Ape, the cuck is the one that supports the woman the most financially. Ooh, that's a good point. Anthony Parrish says, Nadine Doris sounds based. Yes, and if she doesn't walk back any of the statements they're screeching about...
That'll be the telltale sign.
That'll be the test. Mm. Not just not walking back, doubling down. You know, it's like, yeah, you said this. Yes, I did. I'm going to say it again.
Do the David Lammy. Go to hell.
Yeah. Jay says, what do you think of the internet age, which allows people to process serious issues in a meme-like way? A standard Reddit comment chain seems to be an exercise in group coping, helping each other rationalize the views that they already have. Sweet, comforting axioms. Yeah, but that's Reddit. I mean, Jesus Christ, you know, you can go somewhere else like here, and I'm not going to tell you what you want to hear. I'm going to tell you what you need to hear. Get off social media. Go get a job. But also subscribe to our YouTube channel and follow us on Facebook and Getter and Gab and various other, you know. Do all those things, but stop doing those things. Look, I didn't get to choose the business model. What other options do we have?
Lotusetus.com.
Well, that's a good point. You could go to lotusetus.com. M1 Ping says, take the novel vaccines immediately and without question or you're committing heresy. The Vicar of Science, Fauci probably. Vicar of Science is a great term. That is exactly how he should respond to Fauci, the Vicar of Science. Anthony M says, looking forward to the Trump Minaj administration.
You know, he has had that falling out with Pence, so if he does run, I'm interested to see who he picks.
I mean, I was thinking it might be DeSantis, but I'm loving Minaj's energy.
I don't know.
DeSantis is great, don't get me wrong. I'm not talking him down.
I feel like DeSantis should be a candidate for president on his own.
Sure, but also, I mean, you know, he could be given an office, right? He could be appointed to a particularly
minister
important
for based,
office. Yeah, minister for based or something. But you know, I like Nicki Minaj's energy on this. Just eat shit. Just like, Get off the internet, eat shit. I love it. I love it. Just tell her how you really feel. I can tell you now, adding the audio version of the articles would be what makes me upgrade from bronze to silver. Okay, great. Yeah, go and check out the
psychological impact of lockdowns.
Yeah, tell us how it seems, because we'd be more than happy to add those on the future ones, and then retrospectively as time goes on, we won't have them all done at once, but for the future articles we can have them done when the article goes live, so it will be there for silver and gold tier members. But let us know how you feel about it and tell us if it's worth it for you, basically. Anton says, question for Carl. Would it be possible to get an earlier notice on future book clubs in the news feed? Maybe even a tentative book club schedule? I'd love to be able to better follow the conversations, having read the books in question myself. Maybe this information could be part of golden tier, silver tier subscriptions. Thanks for your hard work. Have a good day. Well, Cam keeps pointing out that he's doing Robert Conquest's, what was it called? Reflections on a Ravaged Century. And I'm still working on the critical theory stuff, which I'll be doing more this afternoon.
But also the way we pick them and whatnot can be quite sometimes chaotic.
Yeah, sometimes we'll discover something that's really relevant, and so we'll read through it, make the notes, and we won't really have time to make announcements. But we will try to say on the podcast what we're doing in advance. Rose says, I was not expecting Nicki Minaj to be so intelligent. Dang. Yeah, I know, right? She, like, the fact that she cut through all their nonsense and got to the core of the issue was really impressive. And Core Wizard says, hashtag Ballgate, yas queen, lol. I love this.
I wonder how many instances of a ball swelling there has been.
I don't know.
That's the thing. If you get in the UK, we have a bunch of stats of, you know, the reports of what's gone wrong. Mm-hmm. Like, you made the staff report to it. I mean, the government sat there with a whole bunch of them. She'd be like, should we release them for Nicki or not?
I mean, the fact that we personally know someone who's had that happen to them implies, you know, that this is not that rare.
Hmm. There will be some percentage, one in however many. Yeah. Anyway, we're out of time. So if you want more from us, go to lotusease.com. Please do subscribe to get access to premium content, and also, for example, the psychological impacts of lockdowns and the audio there. Go and give that a try. And otherwise, we'll be back tomorrow at 1 o'clock. Thank you and goodbye.